Today is the second Sunday in Lent. We have several announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. And then we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening at 6 p.m., which is a very salutary practice, especially during Lent. And another penitential practice, I know many of you can't do it because of your going to work or school, but if you're able to help us with the cleaning of the chapel and the hall, we ask for some new volunteers if you're able to do that. And we want to thank those who have been helping us in that regard. And Tuesday is the Feast of St. Joseph. Very important feast because he is, after the Blessed Virgin Mary, the greatest of all saints. And so we will have a High Mass at 9 a.m. And then there will be benediction of the Blessed Sacrament at 6 p.m. on this Feast of St. Joseph this Tuesday. And we are continuing our novena to St. Joseph. We hope that you are participating in that. That is our custom for the last 4 decades plus, to prepare for this feast, but to also honor St. Joseph and ask his assistance, because he is the saint that helps us, helps the church, helps all of you in every need. As St. Thomas has said, St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Teresa of Avila, two very great saints, that it is given to particular saints to help us in certain needs. But with St. Joseph, he helps us in every need. That's why he's called Protector of the Universal Church. Then Friday at 7 p.m., we will have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament following the Stations of the Cross. Now, we commend those who came out Friday. We were quite surprised that many of you came out after the big storm for Stations, so that was, for some of you, heroic. There are some of you, families, who came from 2 hours away from the east, after they just had a big blizzard there too, came for Stations. So that is this Friday evening, 7 p.m., Stations of the Cross and Benediction. Now, we, all the priests, preach about the importance of the sacrament of penance. We do that often, not only during Lent, but throughout the year. You know that. And many of you, in fact, I think most of you, are devoted to this sacrament. Because without forgiveness of sins, there is no salvation. We know that. What do the non-believers and the haters of Christ and the Catholic Church, what do they do to have their sins forgiven when they do not follow the very words of our Lord? As he told the apostles, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. So we know 100% absolute fact that the priest has the power of Christ to forgive sins. However, receiving the sacrament of penance means not just going there to the confessional and saying the words, and not really being as sorry as you could be. Now, you have to have at least the minimal amount of sorrow for your sins, or else the sacrament is invalid. If you don't want to convert your life, if you don't want to stop sinning, if you don't hate the sins you confess, it's a very serious matter. Because if the priest, by the words of Christ himself, whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. So if the priest detects that the penitent, who's really not penitent, and refuses to give up their evil attachments, especially in serious matters, he is bound to deny absolution. So it's how serious it is. It's extremely serious. But we know that all of you, and at least we hope all of you, have the best, at least desire to have the best dispositions when you receive this sacrament. So as you know, during Lent, after benediction, you can go to confession. And then Saturday morning, after Mass, you can go to confession. And then Sunday evening, from 7 to 7:30, you can go to confession. And then Sunday morning, especially for those who live far away, half hour before Mass, you can go to confession. But now, because of the needs of you, the faithful, we are now starting to have a scheduled time for confessions after the Sunday Mass. The reason is because almost every Sunday, some of you missed out before Mass. So the priest will be there in the confessional after Mass today, Sundays of Lent, and from here on out to help you. And the other assistance we're going to offer you is this. You may have seen it in the vestibule on the shelf, because we have had requests over the years for people, especially have vision problems or wearing bifocals as I do, and the examination of conscience leaflet has the form, but it's very tiny and difficult to read for some people. So what this is the form for confession, the very words to use for confession, as you know, as you all learned, and the act of contrition. So you can take this in the confessional if you need to. Of course, the examination of conscience leaflet is still to be used, and that is comprehensive. But for many of us, most of us, we know our sins. We know our bad habits. But sometimes, while we're remembering our sins, we forget the form. So do not be ashamed to take this in the confessional. So you, because it can happen to anyone, you forget. You get flustered. And this is will help you out. So we expect those to disappear quickly. They were printed just recently, and you can print more if you need them. Now, the saints for this week. Saint Joseph, of course, will be spoken about in great detail on the sermon at the High Mass on Tuesday. Happy St. Patrick's Day. In this country and in Ireland, it is a big feast day. Because this man, who goes way back in the church, when the Germanic tribes barbarians from the north were invading the country of Ireland and Great Britain and those northern countries. And these people needed to have the light of faith. So St. Patrick was sent there in the early 400s. Well, of course, he met with huge opposition. But that did not stop him. He forged on, and by his preaching, by his miracles, by his fortitude, he converted the people, the entire nation. Put down the errors and the pagan practices of the Celtic people and the Druids. So if you see in modern society shows or movies that are extolling the Druids, that's all that comes from the devil. You have nothing to do with that. He died in the year 461 and left a legacy not only for his country, but for people around the world, especially the United States, because so many Irish missionaries, priests, and religious, but especially priests, over the last 200-300 years, have come to our country to convert the people and to strengthen their faith. And that's why St. Patrick's Day is so big, especially on the East Coast. I believe it's a holy day of obligation in New York City because he's the patron of that archdiocese. Now, on Thursday, another huge saint, Saint Benedict. He was born maybe about 20 years after St. Patrick died in 480. And what was happening to Rome and the Roman Empire, it was collapsing, as we know. Great civilizations that seem that they'll last forever don't last forever. Only God does, and our immortal souls. And he, because he was a devout young man, decided, I'm going to leave this because the tribes, pagan tribes who were invading Rome in that area, central Italy, were laying it to waste. It was completely corrupt and decadent. So he went a few hours away from Rome to a cave in the mountains called Subiaco. You may have heard of that place. And I had the privilege of going there on a pilgrimage some years ago to be at the very place where St. Benedict, the cave where he prayed for 3 years alone, taken care of by God himself in terms of feeding him and taking care of him. Well, as you know, with holy people, you know that their reputation starts leaking out. People found out about St. Benedict, and so they climbed the mountain, even though he didn't want to have anything to do with them. And they started giving him food and supporting him. And eventually some of them wanted to practice what he was practicing. So he started a small monastery there. But you know what? He wanted to be holy. And a lot of his monks said no. More than once, he is too strict. He's too holy. So they devised plans to assassinate him, as is depicted in the statue second from the back, the black-robed statue there. You can see him holding what looks like a chalice, but it's just a cup. And at the dinner, the monks decided to put wine in there and put a poison in there so he would drink it and die. And just as he was about to pick it up, it broke. And he was given the grace to know that they were going to kill him. Some things never change. But anyway, later he moved his monastery. He decided to move, set up another one in Monte Cassino in Italy, which is for 1,500 years legendary in producing priests and brothers of the Benedictine order who have gone all over the world to spread holiness and spread the faith. So that is Saint Benedict. And that is all of the announcements. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Brethren, even as you have learned from us how you ought to walk and to please God, as indeed you are walking, we beseech and exhort you in the Lord Jesus to make even greater progress. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from every immorality, that every one of you learn how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress or overreach his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. At that time, Jesus took Peter, James, and his brother John, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and was transfigured before them. And his face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking together with him. Then Peter addressed Jesus, saying, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us set up three tents here, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And on hearing it, the disciples fell on their faces and were exceedingly afraid. And Jesus came near and touched them and said to them, Arise and do not be afraid. But lifting up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus cautioned them, saying, Tell the vision to no one till the Son of Man has risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The people of Thessalonica, one of the missionary countries, areas that St. Paul had evangelized, had some problems. And the problems were that the people were being dragged down by the non-believers. And so they were committing a lot of sins against the sixth commandment, sins of impurity, to such an extent that God the Holy Spirit wanted it to be told, to inspire St. Paul to warn the people because even though sins of impurity are not the greatest of sins, they still can, mortal sins in that area can still lead us to hell. There have been saints who have seen what hell is like. They've opened up, the earth is open, and they've seen hell, and they have seen young people, teenagers, and children who are in hell. Obviously, it was a vision because they do not have their bodies, but their souls were in hell, and it was revealed to these saints that the reason they are there is because of sins of impurity in their youth. And they weren't sorry for those sins. And so those bad habits continue into adulthood. Not only sins of impurity, but all sorts of sins. Countless types, as they are listed in the examination of conscience. Now, we can't obviously make it mandatory, but it would be a good Lenten practice, if we can assign it to you, to take the examination of conscience leaflet. And if you've never done it before, read it from beginning to end. Because sometimes it's surprising. You'd be reading it, I didn't know I was doing that. Or I didn't realize it was so bad. And that will help you to root out sins, but also what you know as the predominant fault or faults that we all have. But that Lent is made, created by God to root out. We were talking to some people recently about the terrible state of what happens to people after they die, because when a Catholic dies, their body is treated with respect, because that body, a physical body, was inhabited by an immortal soul, which is not there now, but also that body was an indwelling, a home for the Holy Trinity. That's why we must take care of our bodies. But we were lamenting how now over half, the majority of people burn their bodies. Cremation. It is a sacrilege. Okay, sacrilege to cremate bodies. Our human bodies are not trash or garbage to be burned like refuse. Okay? About 10 years ago, I was instructing this Army veteran from World War II. He was baptized Catholic. He was from New York. But he never learned his faith. He never practiced it. So I taught him, and he came to Mass here for many years. Then he became sick. Had to go in a nursing home. And we visited him, and he had all his plans made, what he wanted to do when he died, because he knew the end was coming. Well, one day we got the call that he had passed away. And I was told that I believe it was a, yes, I remember now, it was the his daughter-in-law, because his son was going to have him buried here, but the daughter-in-law would have nothing of it. So his own son caved in, and he was cremated. So you should, especially those of you who are older, put in writing with somebody that you can trust, some lawyer or somebody, what you want done with your remains after you pass away. Because he got none of the blessings of the church, no Christian burial. And I was pleading with the son not to do that. But he said, no, my wife is saying we should do this. I won't comment on that anymore. We mention that also because we are, by the fifth commandment, meant to treat our bodies with care and respect. So that's why sins of gluttony or neglecting to take care of our health or any other ways, those are sins and they can be grave sins. Drinking too much alcohol and losing your reason is a grave sin. Taking drugs that are harmful for your body, like tobacco and marijuana and all the other drugs, those are sins. Look on the internet, you can read all about it. But you know that it harms your body, so avoid those things. Avoid opioids and all of these things, addictions, whatever they are. Extremely common today. Now, today's gospel is the same gospel as yesterday. And that's because yesterday was a very important day in the church centuries ago, Ember Saturday, because it was the day, as all Ember Saturdays are, for ordinations. So they used to have a midnight mass on Ember Saturday that would continue on into this morning. So it was just one mass. And we have this remarkable story of the transfiguration of our Lord. Now, the mountain that it occurred, this miracle, is, as you know, Mount Tabor, which is just a few miles southeast of Nazareth. And our Lord chose a select few to be at this event. See, God believes in hierarchy, as does society, even though they pretend it doesn't exist. There is a hierarchy. So you have our Lord at the top. Now, he chose 12 apostles, but he made only one of them his vicar, St. Peter. But then he had the closest three, St. Peter, St. James, and St. John. And those three, he said, on a very hot August day, we're going to climb this mountain. And when they got to the top, it said, as it says, he was transfigured before them. His face shone as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. Imagine if you saw this. It'd be startling. It would be shocking. In fact, that's what happened to the apostles. Because they had seen our Lord and been with him all these years, and then for him to remove slightly the veil over his divinity so they could see what he really looked like, they were stunned and they fell on their faces. And then Moses, an apparition of Moses, appeared, and Elias. The great figure of the law, Moses, and the greatest of all prophets of the Old Testament, Elias. When they saw this, they were speechless except for St. Peter, who was impetuous by nature. And he said, "It is good for us to be here, O Lord. Let us make a tent for you, for Moses and Elias." Because he thought, well, we're on the top of this mountain. Let's make a place that you can be protected and have some propriety, a place to reside for a moment on the top of this mountain. Now remember, and if you didn't know this already, this miracle, which was one of the greatest of our Lord's before he rose from the dead, was meant to increase the faith of those three men. Just like when we recount it at this Mass, it's to increase our faith. And we definitely need it. Some of you, I know, are sometimes distracted or even upset, distraught over the crisis in the world and in the church. So we have a Mass like this where the cloud overshadowed our Lord. The cloud symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And then the voice. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." That was God the Father telling those three men, those three apostles, to listen and hear the words of his Son. That means not just hear it, but hear it and practice it. If you hear from relatives or fellow employees or employers or fellow students or evil acquaintances, or we call them bad friends, if you hear them say something that contradicts what Holy Mother the Church says or what is taught in the Catechism or what is read from this epistle and gospel book or what is spoken from this pulpit, you know what you do? You can do it as directly as you want. "Get away from me, Satan. Have nothing to do with those people, because they will always drag you down." It is a miracle of grace that you all come to Mass this Sunday and week after week. But how dangerous it is, how frightening it is when someone comes to a Mass like this and then they stop. This day, we can call it Transfiguration Sunday, is meant not only to strengthen the faith of the apostles, but to give them, at that time, but all of us, hope that what was about to come to our Lord in terms of being attacked, arrested, spit on, beaten, stripped of his clothes, scourged with a whip with hooks on it, being treated like an animal, that when the apostles would see this, they would remember, they'd think, our Lord gave us that privilege of seeing him appearing as God, and we have a little bit of hope left. Now, when he was arrested, as you know, they all ran away. Even St. John, they all ran away because of their fate of the soldiers and the chief priests and the Pharisees. But then St. John came back and was at the foot of the cross. And little by little, the apostles remembered what they had learned. And they were sorry for turning their backs on our Lord, especially at the crucifixion. You'd think they would have been there. Only St. John, the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary of Cleophas, and then that huge sinner, St. Mary Magdalene. Why do I say that? It's because that's what we have in those dark moments, or when we're dulled by the noxious fumes of the world, intoxicated with sin. We remember. That there's a faith that will lead us to heaven. And there's a path to heaven. We just have to get on the right track. Get on that path. And lastly, remember, Lent, we're 10 days into Lent now. We received the ashes 10 days ago. Are we fighting the good fight? Are we being soldiers of Christ? Or have we fallen already and made a mess of things? Not to worry. You get up as our Lord did. He fell three times. He got up again and again to save us from our sins so that we can get up again and again by receiving the sacrament of penance, by having a desire for conversion. Here's what the offertory of this Mass says. Psalm 118. I will meditate on thy commandments, which I have loved exceedingly. And I will lift up my hands to thy commandments, which I have loved. Don't feel the burden of the laws or the commandments of God. Embrace them and love them. If you read Psalm 118, which is by far the longest of all the Psalms, every verse talks about the laws and commandments of God, and how we should love them and have reverence for them. Because they're not just laws for themselves as an end in themselves, but they are the door, the opening to God's grace. So I hope this will give you encouragement for the upcoming weeks of Lent, because we're now in the trenches. But you have now more than ever access to this beautiful sacrament of penance. May God bless you.